But the big story tonight is about this resignation by Joe Kent from the Trump administration. And this is our big story. We are entering day 18 of our U.S.-Israel war in Iran. No end in sight. We are in this stalemate, as you know. The Strait of Hormuz remains closed. The Iranian regime is intact, and they still possess the capability to attack the Gulf countries, shipping in the Strait of Hormuz, Israel, and U.S. bases. The United States so far has been unable to extricate itself from the conflict. There's no way out for us other than to escalate or to strategically surrender. It is in the midst of this war that you're starting to see some cracks form inside the administration. Over the weekend, the AI czar, David Sachs, publicly dissented from the Trump administration. I think this is the first example of this. David Sachs said that he believes the war in Iran should be brought to a close. For those that don't know, he is a chief connector between the Trump administration and the Little Tech group of Silicon Valley founders. He's Jewish, part of the PayPal mafia. And he's a very influential person in the team of J.D. Vance, in the world of Elon Musk, perhaps Peter Thiel, among others. David Sachs this weekend said it's time for the war to end. Shortly after that, today, Joe Kent, who is the director of counterterrorism for the United States, resigned his post in protest of the war. He published his resignation letter and specifically said he's stepping down because Trump has broken his America First promise. The foreign policy we're getting has diverged from the foreign policy that we were told we would get in 2016, 2020, and 2024. And Joe Kent says he believes that actually it is the Israel lobby that has dragged us into the war. And this is the story. It says, quote, the top U.S. counterterrorism official said Tuesday that he resigned over his concerns with the ongoing war in Iran. Joe Kent, director of the National Counterterrorism Center, said in a social media post on X, quote, I cannot in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. While some Trump supporters outside the administration have been critical of the president's action, the administration has mostly presented a united front. Trump told reporters when asked about Kent, quote, I always thought he was a nice guy, but weak on security. When I read his statement, I realized it's a good thing he's out. He said Iran is not a threat. Which is an interesting statement because Trump appointed Kent to be the director of the Counterterrorism Center. So Trump says, well, I always thought he was bad on security. Really? So you always thought that your own nominee to be the director of the Counterterrorism Center was bad on security? So why then did you appoint him in the first place? That doesn't even make any sense. And see, this is, again, this is where you got to say about Trump, I'm done with this guy. Are you kidding me? So Joe Kent, by the way, is totally correct about this. This is a complete break from America First foreign policy. And that is why people signed up. This is why people voted in 2016, 2020, and 2024. There are a lot of people that voted three times because of this, because they wanted an end to the endless wars, specifically in the Middle East. Not in Cambodia, not in Congo, not in Pakistan, but in the Middle East. And these Israel-driven wars against Israel's enemies. People voted three times because they wanted Americans to stop dying in Syria, Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and elsewhere. And Trump has obviously broken with that as he has plunged America into a war of choice, a war of aggression, something that was totally unnecessary. It's not a preemptive strike because it didn't preempt anything. It wasn't in self-defense because we were never attacked. It wasn't about securing a vital American interest because it's hard to parse what interest is outweighed by a regime change war in a mountainous country three times the size of Iraq with a population of 90 million. So Joe Kent is correct. You broke your promise. You betrayed America First. Consequently, he's stepping down. And what does Trump say? Well, he was always bad on security. Really? Then why did you appoint him to be the director of counterterrorism if he was so bad on security? You liar. You utter liar and deceiver and traitor. What does that even mean? Well, he was always bad on security. Okay, so then you should be impeached for treason. Because either every word out of your fat, disgusting mouth is a lie, or you committed treason. You appointed somebody to run the counterterrorism center that, in your own words, you had no confidence in. You thought he was always bad on security, so that's a dereliction of duty. You should be impeached. You plunge us into a war with Iran where there's a high risk of sleeper cells on U.S. soil activating. You bomb Iran all the time. We're in a heightened state of security because of what has been happening. And you appoint someone that's always been bad on security to defend the homeland and run counterterrorism. Okay, then you should be impeached. Or you're a liar, in which case you should also be impeached. It's too much. It's too much at this point. I've just had it up to here. I can't tolerate anymore. I'm not a stupid person. I'm not a dummy, and I'm not a sycophant either. I could be a very loyal person, and I understand that there is some deference that is owed to the leader of any organization, of any movement, but this is bullshit. This is insulting. This is insulting to the intelligence of every American. This is insulting to the dignity of every American soldier. You sit there in the Oval Office and you say, well, I always thought he was bad on security. Hey, dumbass, who appointed him then? Do you even think before you speak, or do you think nobody's paying attention or nobody cares? It's disgusting. And honestly, this Trump cult, I'm not afraid to say it because I'm independent, as you know. This has maybe become the single biggest threat to America. It's hard even to say which is worse, the left or the Trump cult. The left is cult-like, and they are evil. They are in favor of abortion, and they are in favor of gender reassignment, and they are immune to reason. But increasingly, the Trump administration resembles it. It mirrors it. In the same way that we used to critique the left for being NPCs, for being brainwashed by television, for not listening to reason, not being able to critique their own side, point out obvious lies or hypocrisy. They were able to support evil and wickedness because of ideology. It's a mirror image now on the right. Trump is the biggest hypocrite, the biggest liar. No one will critique him. They're all being brainwashed by Fox News, including Trump himself. These are all NPC robots that just watch Fox News every day, just watch propaganda every day from foreign influence operatives. That's who owns it. Those are the presenters. That's what it is. They will not hear any critique. They will not critique their own side. They will not look at the obvious contradictions, dishonesty, hypocrisy. And they support all of this moral wrongness. They support all of this wickedness. The genocide in Gaza, a war of choice against Iran, the slaughter of 160 girls at a school in Tehran, which Trump lied about. It's become identical to the left. And I'm over here as someone very far right that was once a Trump supporter because of the ideas and principles and policies that is now saying, I don't even recognize this anymore. This is just gross. Well, Kent was never good on security. Really? This is just pure hubris. What else could you call this other than that? It's as if nothing matters. There's no consequences. No one's paying attention. There's no accountability. He can do whatever he wants. If he made a deal with Iran, 90% of MAGA would support it. He bombed Iran, 90% of MAGA does support it. He could say one thing, he could say the total opposite thing. Either way, it would have 90% support. It's catastrophic. Anyway, this is what Trump says in response to Kent's resignation. He was always bad on security. Oh, okay. Who believes this anymore? Honestly, if you still support Trump, you're only insulting yourself. It has really just become a mark of intelligence. It's a filter. If you're still on board with this, you're just not that smart. If you're still making excuses for this, you just have no character. It's that simple. I don't know how you could support somebody that just ritualistically humiliates you and insults your intelligence every single day like that. Telling you things like this that just obviously don't even make sense. Anyway, in the letter, Kent said he supported the foreign policy that Trump campaigned on in the last three presidential cycles, but that the president has veered away from his goals of avoiding never-ending wars. He blamed unnamed high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the American media for deploying a misinformation campaign that undermined Trump's America First policies. Now, this is also part of the problem. So Joe Kent, and we'll read through his letter in a moment, but this is just a preview here. So obviously Trump has betrayed the America First base. He's betrayed America First as a movement. But who does Joe Kent blame for this treachery? He says, well, it's everybody else. Trump campaigned on America First three times. He deceived the voters into thinking they would get it three times, and three times he's betrayed them. And Trump is delivering now, not only it's not America First, it's the opposite. It's America Last. And Joe Kent does not blame Trump for the treachery. He said the words. He's the chair of the party. He's at the top of the ticket. He's the president. He's the head of the transition. He appoints all the personnel, and yet it's not his fault. Whose fault is it? Influencers, advisors, members of the government, Israeli, it's everybody else. Really? Why can no one hold the president accountable? Why can nobody say it's him? Joe Kent, he's going to get thrown under the bus and eaten alive by MAGA anyway. He resigned his post. He's going to be treated as radioactive anyway. They're going to mock him and humiliate him and disparage him. So why are we still trying to salvage by saying, oh, it's not really Trump's fault? Of course it's Trump's fault. This is his letter. I'm going to read it in full. This is from his Twitter account, Joe Kent. It says, quote, after much reflection, I have decided to resign from my position as director of the National Counterterrorism Center, effective today. I cannot, in good conscience, support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. I support the values and the foreign policies that you campaigned on in 2016, 2020, and 2024, which you enacted in your first term. Until June of 2025, you understood that the wars in the Middle East were a trap that robbed America of the precious lives of our patriots and depleted the wealth and prosperity of our nation. In your first administration, you understood better than any modern president how to decisively apply military power without getting us drawn into never-ending wars. You demonstrated this by killing Qasem Soleimani and by defeating ISIS. Early in this administration, high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the American media deployed a misinformation campaign that wholly undermined your America First platform and sowed pro-war sentiments to encourage a war with Iran. This echo chamber was used to deceive you into believing that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States and that you should strike now, and that there was a clear path to a swift victory. This was a lie and is the same tactic the Israelis used to draw us into the disastrous Iraq war that cost us, our nation, the lives of thousands of our best men and women. We cannot make this mistake again. As a veteran who deployed to combat 11 times and as a Gold Star husband who lost my beloved wife, Shannon, in a war manufactured by Israel, I cannot support sending the next generation to fight and die in a war that serves no benefit to the American people, nor justifies the cost of American lives. I pray you will reflect upon what we are doing in Iran, who we are doing it for. The time for bold action is now. You can reverse course and chart a new path for our nation, or you can allow us to slip further toward decline and chaos. You hold the cards. It was an honor to serve in your administration and to serve our great nation. So this is a statement, and let's just say at the outset, this is a great statement. This is a very good and positive development. finally, someone in the administration is dissenting publicly. And even better, has resigned in protest and has written this letter. And Joe Kent hit the nail on the head. It's all true. It's all true. Trump campaigned on America First 3 times, and we're not getting it in 2025. And he's right that the Israelis and the Israel lobby in America have hyped up a war with Iran, and they have deceived the public, and they are subverting even the government inside the Trump administration. And that going to war in Iran, it resembles the mistake of going to war in Iraq. And by asking the question, who is really responsible for this and what is really the goal, these are the right questions. And this hopefully will get people thinking. And it means a lot coming from inside the Trump government. There's obviously a lot of liberals and Democrats who are opponents of the Republican Party and the Trump government, but this means a lot more coming from somebody on the inside. With that being said, there are some problems with the letter. So Joe Kent says that Trump was America first in his first term. But is that really true? Kent says that killing Qasem Soleimani was America first. How exactly was that America first? Joe Kent is either lying or he's ignorant. As we have pointed out consistently on the show, the killing of Qasem Soleimani led directly to the war in Iran that we are in right now. How? Because Qasem Soleimani was the architect of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. He was the, and moreover, in particular, the architect of the Axis of Resistance Network. It was Soleimani and the Quds Force and the IRGC which built up Hezbollah's capabilities, the Popular Mobilization Front in Iraq, the Houthi rebel movement, Ansar Allah in Yemen, even aiding Hamas in Gaza. This was Qasem Soleimani. And for those who don't know, Qasem Soleimani was one of the highest ranking officials in the Iranian government, and he was one of the most respected members of Iranian society. By killing Qasem Soleimani, this was the first blow in what eventually became Israel's rolling war against Iran and its proxies since October the 7th. How can you not see that? Soleimani built up that Islamic crescent of Iranian influence among Shiite militias and proxy groups across Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, the Arabian Peninsula, Eastern Med. That was Soleimani. Killing him did 2 things. One, it weakened the IRGC. It paved the way for this U.S.-backed Israeli war on all fronts, on all 8 fronts against Iran and its proxies. And 2, and maybe this is the biggest problem, it engendered antipathy and animosity between Washington and Tehran. There was only 2 ways out of the crisis with Iran, which is their nascent nuclear hedging, their nuclear program. You either, 1, blow it up, or 2, you get them to agree to give it up. Those are the only 2 ways this could have gone. Now, you either have a deal where Iran is going to hand over their highly enriched uranium and they're going to give up their centrifuges, or they're going to have enough confidence that they won't pursue a nuclear program, or we have to go to war. Now, if you kill one of the highest ranking members of their government when he's at an airport in Iraq, if you effectively murder him, we're not at war with Iran. We're not at war with the IRGC. We didn't declare a war. And it's not like he was killed in the battlefield. He was assassinated by an airstrike. We dropped a bomb on him. We murdered him because the IRGC helped some of the militias in Iraq that were fighting American soldiers. It's all very convoluted. We were there on Iran's border. It's not like they killed people over here. And so by killing Qasem Soleimani, do you make diplomacy more or less likely to succeed? Obviously, less likely. Is Trump able to make a deal with the Ayatollah after he has stained his hands with the blood of Soleimani? Maybe that became impossible the moment that happened. And what's more, that wasn't the only factor. This was part of a raft of anti-Iran, pro-Israel policies in the first Trump administration, ripping apart the JCPOA. It's one of the first things he did. In 2018, Trump pulled us out of the Iranian nuclear deal. Then he pressured the Europeans to leave. Then he designated the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a terrorist group. Then he assassinated its leader. Then after he lost the election in 2020, according to the official results, then he ordered a strike on Iran. Google it. He tried to bomb Iran in December of 2020. And when Biden got into office, Israel picked up where Trump left off and launched industrial sabotage attacks, cyber attacks. They assassinated Iran's scientists. And all Trump did in 2025 is pick up where he left off, bombing the Houthis, furnishing Israel with 2,000-pound bombs, and then carrying out Midnight Hammer after the Israelis launched their preemptive war against Iran. So Joe says, well, Trump was good, now he's not. It needs to be more like the first administration. You say, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. I'm calling bullshit on that. What do you mean the first administration was America first? Well, he says what he means. He says, when we killed Soleimani. I say, I don't know what you're talking about. Killing Soleimani was America first? How do you not see the connection between then and now? Who do you think encouraged us to do it? The same people cheering for the war now, they're the same people that were cheering for brinksmanship against Iran in 2020 when that happened. And we were on the brink of war with Iran when they were attacking chemical tankers, allegedly, and we were shooting down their drones, and they were attacking our military assets in the summer of 2020. It was basically the same story, and it was the exact same people cheering it on. So that's very strange to me. I don't like that he said it was America first to kill Soleimani, and now it isn't. Also, there's this conceit, I think, among people like Tucker and Joe Kent. They will never criticize the president. Even though the president routinely attacks these people and they lose favor in the court of MAGA and they get kicked out and they get thrown under the bus and trashed on Twitter and so on, Tucker will never say it's Trump. He always says, oh, I'm always going to love Trump and he can say whatever he wants about me, but I'll always support him. And same thing with Joe Kent. You see the same strain there. You see the same through line where Joe Kent says, who is to blame for this? Well, the Israelis tricked him. The Israelis tricked him. U.S. advisors tricked Trump into thinking that Iran was an imminent threat. So Trump is an idiot? Trump has no wherewithal? Then why did we vote for him? Joe Kent was supposed to be in the National Security Council in the first term, and then that never panned out. So they brought him into this rinky-dink position in 2025 where he could do nothing. You campaigned for Trump all these times knowing that Trump is just being tricked, has no guile here, he's got no wherewithal. That's not true. Trump is responsible for it also. But this is part of this, I don't know if this is a strategy where maybe Tucker and Joe Kent think that they're more persuasive if they don't throw Trump under the bus, if they don't attack him directly. Maybe they think they're going to have more appeal to Trump's voters if they don't go in on Trump. I don't even think that makes sense, even if that's a strategy. Do you think that any fewer people are going to hate Joe Kent or Tucker, any less people are going to hate them if they don't directly attack Trump than if they indirectly attack Trump? It doesn't matter. Trump says that Tucker has gone crazy. Trump says that Joe Kent was always terrible. And you know what? All of his supporters are going to go with that. They're all going to go along with that anyway. So I don't know what exactly we think we're doing, what we think we're salvaging by saying, oh, well, you know, we still like poor little Trump. He's just being tricked at every turn. He's just being suckered into it. I don't know what exactly we're trying to salvage there. Whatever it is not working. So I'm inherently distrusting of this. And something weird is going on because there's something else too. People have gone through Joe Kent's recent tweets and they have found that right up until 2024, Joe Kent was very pro-Israel. As a matter of fact, he ran for the U.S. Congress twice, same district in Washington State in 2022 and 2024. And in both elections, he was attacking his Democratic opponent because the Democratic opponent wasn't sufficiently pro-Israel. He said, my opponent won't vote for more foreign aid to Israel. He said Trump did the right thing and the Democrats did not give Israel what they needed after October 7th. He even said, and this is the best one, this is in January 2020. He said, I personally think we should have crushed Iran's ballistic and nuclear capabilities. But Trump has a plan. He has definitely earned the confidence of any clear-eyed observer. So you say, what is going on here with Joe Kent? Because in 2020, in 2022, in 2024, he thought it was a great idea to bomb Iran. He still thinks it was a good idea to kill Soleimani. 2020, 2022, 2024, he's saying, as a candidate for office, he's saying, I support Israel. Israel's our closest ally. My opponent won't support Israel. Iran is responsible for October 7th. We should have bombed their missiles and nukes. I trust Trump. I have confidence in him. Consistently for the past 6 years. Now, all of a sudden, in March of 2026, he's been quiet this whole time. He's had nothing to say for the past year and a half. Now, all of a sudden, he says, well, I have a big problem with all this, and killing Soleimani was America first, but this isn't. And now I believe it's the Israel lobby that's responsible. And you know who I mentioned earlier? You know who else is outspoken inside the Trump administration? Maybe the only person? David Sacks. Google it. David Sacks, the Jewish PayPal Mafia AI czar in the White House, he came out this weekend and said the war in Iran needs to end. Now, what did David Sacks and Joe Kent have in common? Well, they're both very good friends of J.D. Vance. And now that Joe Kent has resigned, they say that he's going to do an interview with Tucker Carlson. Tucker is going to bring on Joe Kent for an interview, a tell-all interview. And then Joe Kent is going to go to the Catholic convention in Washington, D.C., where apparently he'll be interviewed by Candace Owens. Now, what do Tucker Carlson, Joe Kent, and David Sacks all have in common? Well, they're all huge supporters and close personal friends of J.D. Vance. Huge friends. It was David Sacks who got Donald Trump on the All In podcast after J.D. Vance got a fundraiser together of all of David Sacks' friends, all of Peter Thiel's friends, at David Sacks' house in San Francisco in June of 2024. And it was that fundraiser which convinced Trump of J.D. Vance's usefulness, which is why Trump made Vance the vice president. It was also on the recommendation of Tucker Carlson that Trump made that decision. So think about this. In June of 2024, J.D. Vance hosts a fundraiser for Trump at David Sacks' house, where all the Silicon Valley money goes pouring into Trump's campaign. And Vance is the connector between Trump and all of the billions of dollars in Silicon Valley. And who is the connector on the Silicon Valley side? Well, it's Vance's close friend, David Sacks. Sacks, who's tight with Elon Musk. Sacks, who is tight with Peter Thiel. You might remember that when Ron DeSantis announced his candidacy for president in May of 2023, he did it on a Twitter space with Elon Musk and David Sacks. So Trump saw that fundraiser in June of 24 and said, J.D. Vance can bring in a lot of big tech money. He can bring in a lot of little tech money. He can bring in Elon Musk. He can bring in Andreessen Horowitz. He can bring in all these people, Jacob Hellberg and maybe Sean McGuire. Who knows? The other guy, ChatGPT, he can bring all these people in. And that's a lot of money. You're going to need Silicon Valley to tip the scales. Then Trump gets shot at Butler in July. And do you know who gives him a call and encourages him to pick Vance as the vice president? Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, and Tucker Carlson. And Tucker specifically says to Trump after he gets shot in the head, once again, Google this. There's a New York Times article about it. Tucker says to Trump, you need to appoint Vance, because that's assassination insurance. Tucker says the neocons will kill you if you pick a neocon vice president, because then that person will take your place and they'll do their bidding. So Tucker said, you need to pick Vance because the neocons are afraid of him, so they won't kill you. That's why you should pick him. Trump picks Vance. Vance goes to the RNC. And at the RNC, Vance says, we need to bomb Iran really hard. The same RNC that Tucker also spoke at. Joe Kent is running for Congress this time. Tucker has him on his show on Fox News regularly, at least the first time in 2022. Joe Kent is a huge ally of Tucker. He's also a CIA officer. He's also been in the CIA for decades, like Tucker's father. Joe Kent loses the election. Then he becomes the director of counterterrorism center in the Trump government. Now that the war with Iran is happening, what have you noticed about J.D. Vance? Well, he disappeared from the public eye. Where is J.D. Vance? You don't see him anymore. He's the most extremely online vice president. J.D., he's at Turning Point. He's at the Charlie Kirk funeral. He's everywhere, popping up that fat, ugly face to talk about, you know, whatever nonsense he has to say today. But ever since the war in Iran started, we don't see him too much. He's making a calculated disappearance. Why? He knows this is a disaster. He knows how bad it is. And as vice president, he knows that he shares the blame. And he shares the blame in 2028. Not if, but when the Iran war becomes a big liability in the 2027 and 2028 primary and then election, he wants to be as far away from this as possible. Because if anybody runs against him as a challenger, well, they're going to be able to point out that he was the vice president and oversaw the catastrophic reentry into the endless wars in the Middle East. He wants nothing to do with it. That being said, he also can't alienate the president. Because in 2027, 2028, he's going to want to distance himself from the legacy of the war in Iran, but he's also going to need Trump's endorsement. He's also going to need Trump's support. He can't actually, he's not able to hurt that relationship with the president. Not if he wants to stay on as vice president. Not if he wants that endorsement in 28. He's not capable of doing this. It's just not in the cards for him. And if Vance somehow upsets the president, he knows that Trump is so vindictive that Trump is going to annihilate him and his chances of being the nominee for the Republicans in 28. So Vance is in a very precarious situation now. And at the same time that all of these considerations are in play, if you've been watching on Polymarket, his odds of becoming president have precipitously been falling. So this is provable. It's not a theory. It's not speculative. It's provable that the longer this war goes on and the more catastrophic it is, it's killing Vance's political career. His odds of becoming the nominee, and even if he gets the nomination, becoming the president, they're falling off a cliff. It's bad. And he is in an impossible situation. He can't turn on the president because then the president is vindictive, doesn't endorse him, and endorses an opponent. He's dead in the water. But if he embraces the president too closely, then Vance owns the war, becomes a major liability, and then some insurgent candidate runs in 27. Trumpism is a toxic brand, and Vance is denied that way, or at least it's super competitive. It's not one of those sure bets that Peter Thiel loves so much and whom Tucker talks to every day, by the way. I heard this recently. Do you know, by the way, that Tucker consults Peter Thiel with every major life decision he makes? Someone should ask Tucker about that. The next podcast that he's on, somebody should ask Tucker, what is your relationship with Peter Thiel? Because according to my sources, Tucker consults Peter Thiel on every major life decision. They're far closer than he lets on. They're far better of friends than he will ever tell anybody in public. And as you know, J.D. Vance is Peter Thiel's boy. And Peter Thiel loves a sure bet. If you know anything about Peter Thiel, he likes monopolies. He likes a sure thing. He doesn't like competition. So, J.D. Vance, it's looking a little too competitive in 2028. So now, you start to see this little group. You start to see David Sacks, the connector, David Sacks, Vance's future guy, okay? They're very close. If J.D. Vance becomes president, what role is David Sacks going to have? A big one. A big one. So David Sacks says, I don't know about the war. What role will Joe Kent have in a future Vance administration? What do you think? You think Joe Kent will have a role in Vance's administration? So Joe Kent steps out and says, well, I don't want to insult the president, and he was America First, but he isn't anymore. And now Tucker's going to interview him. Something is going on here. Something is clearly going on between all these people. And it's obvious. They are making a play. They are making some kind of play. They want to stop the war in Iran. They don't want to implicate Vance. They want to get Trump to slow it down and get him out of there. Maybe give Vance some cover fire. Maybe they can initiate it and Vance can come in as the wingman. You know, Trump is in his office. I don't know what to do. They're leaving my administration. Vance puts his hand on his shoulder. Listen, boss, you know, we got to leave and finish the war. They're planting all these stories now saying that Vance was against the war. Vance told Trump not to do it, pleaded with him, all this kind of stuff. It's an op. It's an op. And I know you might think that I'm being picky. I'm not. I know you might think I'm being paranoid. I'm not. It's an op. It's obviously an op because of who is involved. And I would venture to guess that this little CIA referral against the DOJ, I would imagine this is like a counter operation. There is a civil war in the White House about this, and it's a civil war between the camp of J.D. Vance, which needs him to become the president either before 28 or in 28, and they need to rescue him from this catastrophe that Trump has created. And they're throwing a little bit of shade at the Israelis because the Israelis are really hurting Vance here. That's obvious. And I think that really started after my interview with Tucker, to tell you the truth. I did my interview with Tucker in late October. And then at the Republican Jewish Coalition, Mark Levin goes there and says, we're watching to see who disavows who, and we're making our decisions for 28. And the implication was, we're going to watch and see if J.D. Vance fires Buckley Carlson, disavows Tucker, and if he doesn't, then we'll back somebody else. And surely that is happening behind the scenes. And that is why the Israelis are content to see Trump go down in flames and J.D. Vance with him, because then they will rescue Marco Rubio from the rubble and the fire, and he will be their guy or somebody else. Or they don't even care. You know, but that is what is going on. And that is why Tucker has upped his game against the Israelis, because they are damning Vance to hell after that interview. And that's why they're coordinating this effort to save Vance. And in order to do that, they've got to push back against the Israelis a little bit, but they can't piss Trump off too much. That's obviously what is going on here. And I don't trust any of these people. I don't trust Vance. I don't like Vance at all. And I don't think he should be the guy. And I don't like Tucker. And I don't like Joe Kent. And I don't like any of them. I don't trust any of them. I don't. And I see what they're doing. I don't know who the fuck Tucker is. I don't know what the fuck he is. He's not honest. He's not an honest man. And if he is something other than a guy that just likes his hunting and fishing, well, you know, he didn't tell me. And that's all I have to go off of. So I don't like it. I don't like what I can't see. I don't like what I can't trust. And I can't read him. I came there and I wore my heart on my sleeve. And he, you know, it was a work. I don't like it. And I don't like that he's in Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Russia and Serbia. And I don't like that he's in Iran. And I don't like that his dad is a lobbyist for Hungary, or was. I don't like that his dad was working for the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. I don't like that Tucker is so close with Orban. I don't like that Tucker says he has friends in the Israeli government. I don't like any of that. And I don't like that Joe Kent was in the CIA and lied about it. I don't like that Vance is in bed with Peter Thiel. Not a fan of this stuff. And if these guys are really on my side, I don't know, maybe give me a call. If these guys are really on my side, if these guys are really on the side of America First, hey, I want to be a part of the solution, but it's a little bit hard to be a part of the solution when all you people are so fucking dishonest and throw, in particular, me under the bus always. Hard to get on board. Because some people might say, well, hey, they're all working on the inside. You're blowing their cover. They're trying to do something and you're attacking them. Hey, well, you know what? That's news to me because I didn't get a fucking jersey. All these people, they go, well, you got to trust Peter Thiel's plan. You got to trust J.D. Vance's plan. You got to trust Tucker's plan. Shh, they're doing something. They're doing an op. And you're just, that's what Tucker said. You're just attacking all the good people. Well, you know what, Tucker? I don't remember signing a damn contract. I don't remember signing an NDA. I didn't get a jersey. I didn't get a uniform. So what the fuck do I owe you people? I didn't get the talk. I didn't get an explanation. Nobody told me. You know what happened? Joe Kent called me an anti-Semite when he was running for Congress and said, I don't fit with inclusive populism because I talk too much about race and religion. So he disavowed me. That's what I got. And then you, instead of reaching out to me, Tucker goes with his buddy Max Blumenthal, son of Sidney Blumenthal, and writes a 3-part hit piece about me, calling me a fed and paying influencers to promote it to destroy my reputation. That is what has happened. And Tucker, and let's be honest, Tucker, Vance, and Kent, none of these people are pro-white. None of these people are Israel critical or Jew critical. They only became these things in like the past year. And up until that point, they were gatekeepers. They kept everybody out of the conversation. They didn't want to talk about any of it. Now they want to pay lip service to some of this stuff, and they expect everybody to get on board and get behind it. Oh, well, whatever you thought about him in the past, now it's okay. I saw Martyr Maid say that today. And I like Martyr Maid. I really like Daryl Cooper. I really do. I didn't like him at first. Then I talked to him, and I realized he's a good guy. That being said, we disagree strongly about Vance and a number of other things, but I do think he's a good guy. And so today I posted this. I said, you know, it's very interesting. I said, well, years ago, Joe Kent called me an anti-Semite and said he disagrees with me about our ally Israel. Now he says the Israelis are dragging us into Iran like they did in Iraq. So you threw me under the bus saying, our closest ally, Israel, apparently knowing that Israel dragged us into Iraq back then. Now you say, oh, they're doing it again in Iran. So were you lying back then? So I say on Twitter, what's with this epiphany? Years ago, it was our greatest ally, Israel. My opponents against Israel. I don't like Nick Fuentes, especially his views on Israel. Now he's come to the realization that Israel dragged us into Iraq. And now they're dragging us into Iran. And I say, well, that's interesting. What happened there? And Daryl Cooper says, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he said in the past because now he's saying the right thing and that's all that matters. Yeah, not so fast, actually. What is going on? Not so fast. I don't trust that. I don't know who these people are. He said on one of the shows, well, you knew I was CIA. No, we didn't. You didn't tell anybody that. You lied about it because you're an agent. So I don't like it. I don't like any of this. And mark my words, there is more to this story. Okay, I am glad in some sense, like obviously the war in Iran is a disaster. I want it to end. I want there to be public consciousness about the fact that Israel is doing it. If a member of the Trump government defects and says, you're not America first, you're bringing us to war in Iran, Israel's bringing us into the war, you know, that's good for the public consciousness. Obviously, that's a good message. But this is part of a play. You got to understand, people so overvalue words that people say. Words don't matter. What matters are allegiances, associations, cliques. That's what matters. So people say, well, Joe Kent had a good letter. How could you argue it's not based? Well, first of all, there's some problems with it that are eyebrow raising. And second of all, the letter is a desperate play on behalf of Vance. And I don't like Vance. So if the letter is supposed to remedy a problem for J.D. Vance's presidential campaign, I don't know that I love that, actually. If Vance couldn't prevent the war in Iran, then he shouldn't be president. If Vance doesn't have the fucking balls to oppose it now, then he shouldn't be president. What good is Vance in 28 if this is what we get in 26? Think about it. We're a year and a half in. No mass deportations, not a peep from Vance. War with Iran, not a peep from Vance. He's a coward, or he's ineffective, or he's both, or he's going to do the same stuff if, or God forbid, when he becomes the president. So people are treating this war like it's a problem to be solved, like it's an inconvenience for J.D. Vance's aspirations to be president. And I don't know that I'm on board with this play. I say burn it all down. I say Rubio, Stephen Miller, Vance, fuck them all. And Trump. And I hope they fail. Joe Ken is right. This isn't America first. But here's where he's wrong. It was never America first. It wasn't America first when we killed Soleimani. And it's not America first now. And it's not the Israelis' fault. It's Trump's fault because he's the president. You blame Israeli intelligence for tricking him? President of the United States, by the way, doesn't he run American intelligence? There's no excuse. It's Trump's fault. So I didn't like that, and I don't like that this clearly stinks like a play that was conceived of in the vice president's office so that he could salvage his chances in 2028, because that is what he is concerned about, obviously. So that's my two cents. That's my little insight on Joe Kent. That really is a sticking point, isn't it? Years ago, many years ago, 4 years ago, in 2022, we invited Joe Kent to our conference, AFPAC 3. He declined. And then he goes on Twitter and says, I want everyone to know that I declined Nick Fuentes' invitation. I disagree with his views on Israel. And his focus on race and religion subtracts from our message of inclusive populism. Inclusive populism. It's like when Tucker used to say, colorblind meritocracy. Now he says, no blood guilt. Nick looked at me like I was crazy when I said no blood guilt. Yeah, because it has nothing to do with fucking anything. I'm telling you that Israel is Jewish, neocons are Jewish, and you're giving me this canned speech about blood guilt. That's why I'm looking at you like you're crazy, because it has nothing to do with what I'm saying. Not because I'm a racist. He says, well, I just tried to tell Fuentes that blood guilt is wrong. I know that. I'm Catholic. I'm trying to tell you, because you're either a liar or you're playing dumb or you're ignorant, that Israel obviously has something to do with Judaism. Greater Israel has to do with Jewishness. Neocons are Jewish. That's obvious. So anyway, this unfolding situation, it's very convoluted. It gets stranger all the time, and we need to get smart about this. We got to be smart, okay? Don't be a dummy. Dummies find the exit. If you're looking for a polemical show where it's all rhetoric and it's all very simple talking points, memos, we're against a woe and a when. Well, Trump did the one. It's like, we have to understand the underlying dynamics here. We have to understand the underlying dynamics of government decision-making. Things are not always as they seem. The war is unpopular. You know it's unpopular. It's destroying the Republican Party. Look at the chances of the Democrats winning the Senate. Look at how they flipped after the war in Iran started. Now the Democrats are favored to win the Senate and the House. Look at J.D. Vance's chances at winning the presidency, how they've precipitously fallen since the war in Iran began. You think they don't notice that? It's been their plan for 15 years to get Vance in the White House. You don't think they notice that? You don't think they're making moves? They're not like you. Vance can't go on Twitter and say, I don't like the war in Iran. The Jews did it. They're more sophisticated than that. So they're working behind the scenes with their people. David Sachs and Joe Kent, it's a nothing. Joe Kent had a nothing position, but they're using what they got. Tucker's platform, Sachs's connector, Kent, and counterterrorism to try to push back on this, allowing Vance to save face with Trump to head off this crisis in 27. But why should we let them? Why should we let them do it? If Joe Kent and Vance and if all the King's men can't stop it, who delivered Trump? Tucker. Tucker campaigned for Trump. Kent campaigned for Trump. Sachs campaigned for Trump. Now they have buyer's remorse. Now they say we don't like our war in Iran. Well, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, you made your bed. You wanted Vance as the vice president? Hey, wish granted. You wanted Vance to be the VP so bad? Careful what you wish for. You campaigned for Trump on that basis? Got what you fucking voted for then, didn't you? Maybe I'm too simple. But that's what I see. So the Joe Kent thing, I'm very, very suspicious of it. I don't like it. And I think this only serves J.D. Vance. I don't think this is about anything other than that, to be honest with you. I think that these people have been promised something. Joe Kent probably didn't love his position, probably wasn't getting a lot of mileage out of it. Maybe was going anyway. So they used it, and that's clearly what is happening here. But that's that. I do want to move on. I want to get into our super chats. We'll see what you guys have to say about all this. That's my theory. That's my little theory about what is going on there. No one else, I don't know that anyone else is even going to say this. And you want to know why? It's because most other people have no idea what is going on. I don't think anybody else on our side has any idea what is happening. They don't even know about this. They couldn't notice it if they saw it. And other people are in on it. They're being paid by it. So you're not going to hear that anywhere else. I don't know anyone else that has put these pieces together. So we're going to move on, though. We're going to take a look at our super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying. I'll tell you what. People say, how was I right about everything back then? It's the same reason I'm right about this stuff right now. So some people might watch this show and go, oh, he's paranoid. Oh, that's schizo. Oh, his obsession with Vance is making him spiral. I can anticipate what people might say. But the same reason that I'm right about all of this, what is happening, what I've predicted, it's the same reason about what I just talked about. It's because I pay attention to these associations. I follow the money. I pay attention to the word choice, the syntax. It's all very subtle, but it doesn't mean it's not meaningful. So trust me when I tell you, something's up here. This is a work. I cannot be convinced otherwise. Kent and David Sachs stepping out. What a coincidence. What a coinkydink. Tucker and Vance's BFFs, they're both on the outs over the war in Iran. I'm shocked. Just shocked, I tell you. What a surprise. I'm surprised it wasn't RFK Jr. Yeah, I mean, give me a break.